Hare Krishna, thank you for giving me an opportunity to get a chance to read Srimad Bhagavatam and hear some lectures, you know, for these verses. Otherwise, I wouldn't do this. At least Krishna is making me do this for this class. So we will today's class we will cover from 6th chapter of 1st canto, verse number 28 to 38. This completes the 6th chapter. As we know, 6th chapter is the conversation between Narada and Vyasa, and this will be ending in this chapter. This is the concluding part of that conversation. First, we will begin with our invocation verses.
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी.
सो अदनीं पनिट. So first, for these 11 verses, this is the outline. First verse, it talks about how Narada Muni gets the spiritual body. And then the next 4 verses, it's about his transcendental nature, about his Veena and about him and how he went into Brahma's body and how he came out. So it explains about that. And the next 3 verses, Narada Muni instructs Vyasadeva. So that Vyasadev, you know, this is for Vyasadev to write Srimad Bhagavatam. So for that, he's giving instruction on what should be his focus. Those are the verses. And finally is the conclusion, which Suta Goswami ends there. So we'll go through these verses now one by one. So we'll quickly chant maybe the initial verses, and later if we don't have time, we will skip.
प्रयुज्यमाने मयितां शुद्धं भागवतीं तनुं आरब्ध कर्म निर्वाणो न्यपतात् पांच भौतिका.
Having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of 5 material elements, and thus all acquired fruitive results of work, karma, stopped. In the last verse of the last class, which Balram Leela Prabhu took, we read like how he was saying that lightning and illumination take place simultaneously. Like as soon as he quit this body, he got a spiritual body. It was like an immediate thing. So here he is explaining, elaborating more on that. Because Narada Muni was earlier promised by the Lord that he will be getting a transcendental body by which he will be able to associate with the Lord and enter in it into all the spiritual planets. Because we know that with this current body, we cannot enter into any of the higher planets. It's only in this material realm. So to go there, Lord promised Narada Muni that he would give. So here he is saying that I quit this body, and then with this body, all this, you know, fruitive results and everything stopped. So let's go over the main points in this purport. Here Prabhupada explains the qualities of a transcendental body. He stresses that there are 3 main qualities of transcendental body. The first one is, which we have heard, it's eternal. There is no, you know, birth, death to it. And another is, in transcendental body, there is no, like, modes can't affect you. That is like one important quality of the transcendental body, like which we know very well, like how we are bound up by all these modes in the our body. And another thing is, there is no reaction to the fruitive activities, happiness and distress that comes from the fruitive activities. And with this material body, we have problems with all these. We don't have any of these qualities. Whereas in the transcendental body, we have all these things. So that is what Narada Muni was saying here. Like as soon as he got this body, all these reactions of karma and all this, you know, problems with modes of nature, everything got stopped immediately. And Prabhupada further elaborates in his purport. He says that we can get this body even here. The quality. He says the quality of the material body will get surcharged with transcendence when we perform devotional service. So it's not like you need to quit this body to get it. That is one thing. And we can even get that even in this body when we 100% engage our body in devotional service. So this changing of this body, like in the material body, it actually is, he also explained, it's a change of consciousness. First we are in the enjoying spirit, and then slowly we get to the serving spirit. When we are 100% in the serving mood, our consciousness changes, that's when our body becomes transcendental and no more we are affected by modes or everything. And we have seen examples of this, like, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, many people in their current body, they showed those symptoms of, you know, getting the transcendental body in the current body. And I heard Ramapada Maharaj's lecture on this, and there was some discussion. So Maharaj is asking, so what is the process? Is the process that gradually, like, you do devotional service and you get it, or you quit your body and immediately you get that? So what Maharaj is explaining is, in Narada Muni's case, actually, he got special mercy from the Lord. It was causeless mercy. So for him, it was very fast. But for us, it's like a regular, gradual process. We have to do all the sadhana bhakti slowly. We have to go through all the stages. And then once we come completely purified, then we will get this transcendental symptoms in our current body. Whereas for Narada Muni, he just, you know, he was a child. He followed for some time, then the Lord appeared, and then earlier he was doing meditation, and then he followed the chanting of the Lord's glories, and then immediately he quit the body, he got a spiritual body. In his case, it was very, very quick. So that's an exception. That's not the norm. So for us, we have our process. Okay, we do devotional service, we follow spiritual master, we serve him, we serve the authorities, we do that gradually, and then that's how we get to that spiritual body. And there's another point that I read in Prabhupada's purport, not in purport, in one of his classes associated with this verse. Prabhupada says that there are two kinds of devotees. There are living entities who are in spiritual world, they don't fall down. Because the people we are falling down is actually a very small part. There are so many, you know, living entities in the spiritual world. And then we fall down, and then here, by good association, by the Lord's mercy, you know, we take up this process and then we refine ourselves and then we become 100% engaged in the Lord's service and then we go back. It seems the Lord doesn't differentiate between this living entity and that living entity. It's the same for him. People who don't fall down and people who fall down but still take the process. Prabhupada says it's like a gold box and a gold-plated box. Here in material world, there are two different things. But for the Lord, he doesn't differentiate. This is to show, like, how much the Lord wants us to really come back. He doesn't care that you fell down, you ignored me, neglected me, and then now you're taking the process, and they never fell down at all. It's the same. Only thing is we have to make it. That's what. Whether how we made it, that doesn't matter. And another point Prabhupada was saying in this purport is, actually everybody in this world, from Indra, the, you know, king of heaven, to the Indra Gopa, the tiny germ, everybody is bound by the reactions of our activities. But here he is saying the devotee is not bound once his body becomes transcendental. So the Lord is so merciful, he's exempting the devotee from this. Because otherwise everybody is completely bound by this. But he is so merciful, so he's saying that if you practice devotional service and you engage yourself completely, then he is granting us that benefit. I will remove everything, you know, all these reactions from your body. So that those are the things that is covered in this verse. So now we'll go to the next verse. These verses will, Narada Muni will tell about how he got, like how he entered his current body and how he came in his next body. This is for us to understand how Narada Muni is transcendental. You know, otherwise we might think like he's a small 5-year-old boy and this and that. Just to show that Prabhupada even explains that he's of the same level of transcendence as the Lord, which will be explained now. So we'll chant this verse. Kalpanta idam adaya shayane ambasi udanvata shishaishor anupranam vivishe antaraham vibho. At the end of the millennium, when the personality of Godhead Lord Narayana lay down within the water of devastation, Brahma began to enter into him along with all creative elements, and I also entered through his breathing. So here he explains how he quit, and next he'll explain how he's coming back in the spiritual body. So we know that Brahma lives for one millennium. Like Brahma's day is one millennium. And then at the end, in the night, he goes back and he is in... It's called like Yoga Nidra. It's not like they are, you know, dying and taking birth. It's just like they are going into the body of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. And then in his next daytime, he'll again come. So similarly, Narada Muni also, he also entered into the body of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu at when the Brahma's day ended. And when Rampad Maharaj was saying, it is not given here whether that happens on every day of Brahma. We were just told it does happen in this day of Brahma. Because Brahma lives for 100 years and there are many such days, right? So, but this is what is explained in Narada Muni's life, that when he quit his body, this is how he went inside Garbhodakshayi Vishnu's body along with Brahma when he finished his daytime. That particular day when Narada Muni, you know, he was doing his pastimes. So here Prabhupada says that the Lord, we know about the Lord's activities, right? That's Janma Karma Chame Divyam. His birth and his activities are transcendental. Similarly, the Lord's devotees like Narada, they also have the same level. There is no distinction. Of course, the Lord is, you know, he possesses the complete and the devotees possess in some quantity, but the quality is the same. They are also of the same level of transcendence. That's why we hear these, like, there is no birth and death for Narada Muni as well. He just goes inside and then he wakes up. Like how like people go and sleep and come back, that's how he does. Even though he leaves his body and gets another body, but it is like sleeping and waking up. And in this, in the purport, Prabhupada was saying one point that as if Narada was as if like a son of Brahma. There it was explained why he says like as if. It seems, I mean, if you have a spiritual body, then there is no birth, right? Then there is no real material father. Like Krishna also appeared as if the son of Vasudeva. But that is for just for pastime. So similarly here, Narada Muni has a spiritual body, but he just appeared as son of Brahma for these pastimes. That's how it is. So in the next verse is a continuation of the same theme where he will explain how he came out of the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu's body. So we just chant. Sahasra yuga paryante utta edam sisikshataha marichi mishra rishaya pranebhyo aham cha janire. After 4,300,000,000 solar years, when Brahma awoke to create again by the will of the Lord, all the rishis like Marichi, Angira, Atri and so on were created from the transcendental body of the Lord, and I also appeared along with them. So here Narada Muni is saying how he came out of the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu's body after he went back in the last verse. So as explained, Prabhupada reiterates again in this verse. Narada Muni just woke up from sleep, but he got a transcendental body. So it's not like Narada Muni took birth or anything. We don't call it as birth. That's why we call it as an appearance. He just appeared as if, no, you are sleeping and then the next day you just wake up. That's how he appeared. Because Narada doesn't take a physical birth like all of us. He just, you know, he has a spiritual body. He doesn't have a material body. So he doesn't take a birth like us. And because of this, Narada Muni is free to travel everywhere. Because with material body, how much we can go, right? Even in the material world, there's a limitation to how much we can go. But since Narada Muni got a spiritual body, specially gifted by the Lord, he had the power to travel everywhere. Prabhupada explains that he can go from lower planet, middle planet, higher planets, Brahma Loka, and above that, the material covering, and beyond that, Vaikuntha, and after that, all the spiritual sky and all the planets, he can wander everywhere because of this transcendental body that he got from the Lord. And in this, another thing Prabhupada explains in his purport that, what is the transcendental body? He said in the transcendental body, there is no such concept as body and soul. So in this material body is different from the soul. Soul is who we are, and the material body is like a coating for the soul. He says like it is like the material body is made in the shape of the soul. So that, like how we wear a coat for the shape of our hands, right? The coat is made to fit our hands and our arms and our body. So similarly, the material body is made. That's why there is two separate things, material body and the soul. Because this is something we acquired to engage in sense gratification, to satisfy, you know, our so-called desires. So this was given to us, living entity acquired this. Whereas in the transcendental body, the soul is the body. There is no separate thing that you would cast off and go off. That is the thing. There is no distinction. There is no two things there. There is only one thing, which is the soul, which is that person. Because now we are somebody and we have this body, which is an external thing to us. So in the next, from the next verse, Narada Muni will start giving instructions to Vyasadeva. The main goal of Narada Muni is that, so that he instructs Vyasadeva on the core principles on based on which Vyasadeva will fix Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he wants Vyasadeva to focus on some main points in Srimad Bhagavatam, which he will stress here and elaborate here in these next few verses. Of course, it's already been explained. This is now like stressing one more time before he's going to end his conversation. Let's chant. Antar bahischa lokam strin paryemi askandita vrata anugrahan mahavishnor avigata gati kvachit. Since then, by the grace of the Almighty Vishnu, I travel everywhere without restriction, both in the transcendental world and in the three divisions of the material world. This is because I am fixed in unbroken devotional service of the Lord. That is the key point here. Unbroken devotional service. So, if we are, you know, Narada Muni was not attached to anything. He was not affected by the moods. That's why we saw, right? He went through forest, he went through jungle. He never stopped anywhere. Because he didn't have any of those attachments. He wasn't affected by any of them. That's why he was able to travel unrestrictedly everywhere. Because of his unbroken devotional service. So he is telling that that as his main qualification for him, that's why he got this freedom to be able to travel everywhere. That's why Prabhupada calls him, he is a liberated spaceman. He can go anywhere in the creation, no, for the service of the Lord. That's, but he is doing it not for his own enjoyment. Wherever he goes, he is preaching the glories of the Lord and he is liberating so many conditioned living entities. But he is able to do this because of this quality. And that quality is also given by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is the one who gave this qualification to Narada Muni by his mercy. So Narada Muni is able to do it. And another thing is, in this verse Prabhupada stresses is, there are so many Munis, right, who came out. Like Atri, Angira, Marichi. There were so many people. And there were so many Rishis were authorities in so many different branches. So they were, you know, Mimamsa philosophy, this philosophy. There are so many philosophies, right, for fruitive work, for philosophical speculation. So many. But Narada Muni is an authority for bhakti, for devotional service. He is the main authorized person for devotional service. That's why Prabhupada stresses in many places that we are all following in the footsteps of Narada Muni. We are in his sampradaya. So he is the main authority. And there was another point that Prabhupada was saying, that only devotees can enter into the kingdom of Godhead. Nobody can enter. Like all these people who follow philosophical speculation, other things, only devotees can enter. That's why if we follow Narada Muni's footsteps, then we can enter without any, with guarantee. He's saying it's guaranteed that if you follow Narada Muni's footsteps, you will be given an entrance to the kingdom of Godhead, because you are following in his authority, who is an authority for devotional service to the Lord and who followed his in his life by example. So that's what Prabhupada says here. All the great authorities in the devotional service of the Lord follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni in the order of the Narada Bhakti Sutra. And therefore, all the devotees of the Lord are unhesitatingly qualified to enter into the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha. So for us, like, he has told, like, there is no doubt about it. There is no hesitation. We can enter. All we need to do is just follow his footsteps. That's why Narada Muni has kindly explained to us what happened to him, how he took birth, what he did, all the whole process he explained. From his birth till the point he attained transcendence. So that we can get inspiration from there and we can follow it in our life. So we'll go to the next verse. Devadattam imam vinam swara brahma vibhushitam मूर्छयित्वा हरिकथां गायमानश्चरामि अहम्. And thus I travel constantly singing the transcendental message of the glories of the Lord, vibrating this instrument called a veena, which is charged with transcendental sound and which was given to me by Lord Krishna. Here he is further explaining about the transcendental nature of Narada Muni. Prabhupada says this instrument, this veena, was a gift of Krishna to Narada, especially so that Narada can chant the glories of the Lord constantly in his veena. So he says this veena is of the same quality as Krishna, because it was given by him, and Narada Muni is using that to glorify the Lord. So Prabhupada is deriving, so the glories of the Lord must also be transcendental. But that's how it began with, but he is using that to further glorify the glories of the Lord, because he is using this veena which was given by the Lord to talk about it. So that also is transcendental. So everything associated with Narada, with Lord, is transcendental. You know, he gave the veena, veena is transcendental. And use that veena, you do something, that also is transcendental. That's what is stressed in this. And Prabhupada also says that Narada Muni was very obligated to the Lord, because the Lord gave him this gift. And so he uses that constantly to preach the Lord's glories. It's just like a reciprocation. These are the 2 points associated with this purport. So we'll go to the next verse.
Pragayata sva viryani tirtha pada priyashava ahuta iva meshigram darshanam yati chetasi.
The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. It would be so nice if it happened to us, because we also chant all the time. But this is the goal. So Narada Muni is further, he's elaborating how when he begins to chant the Lord's activities, you know, he always talks about Lord's Katha, right? As soon as he does it, he says that the Lord at once appears on his heart, in the seat of his heart. So here, Prabhupada uses a very nice word called spiritual television. He says the Lord appears. See, in the material television, like we have a TV here, TV has a receiver, and there is something that's happening very far, and they are broadcasting, and this receiver is capturing the rays and it's showing. But the object you see here and the object you see there are totally different, because it's not absolute. But whereas in the Lord's case, he is completely absolute. So he himself appears. It is not like his reflection or his image or everything. Because the Lord is identical with his name, with his form, with his activities, with his pastimes. So Prabhupada stresses that the Lord actually appears. He can appear in all of our hearts if we chant purely. And at the same time, he can be in his Goloka as well. Because he is absolute, right? Like for example, if I take a photo of this laptop, the photo is not the same as this. They're totally different, because they are in the relative plane. In this plane, in material, everything is relative. We don't have any absolute reference here. But with the Lord, everything is absolute. So that's why the Lord appears. See, Prabhupada says the Lord appears in the picture of his glorification, himself. Because that's where his glories are being said. That's what I said. Another thing he said, that it's very natural, right? If somebody is talking about us, we like to go there. So when we have that propensity, we got the propensity only from the Lord, right? So the Lord will have the propensity. So Prabhupada is saying, we shouldn't be surprised. Oh, why is Lord appearing? He will appear. Because we're talking about him. If you talk about somebody, it's very natural. The person will, obviously, he would love to go there. And if you're calling for the person so purely and so sincerely, it is pleasure to be there. So there's nothing to be surprised. It's very natural. And he's saying that it'll happen to us if we do that. We don't have to doubt it. We don't have to, you know, have any concerns about it. It will happen as if it's a fact. That's how Prabhupada is saying. And another thing he was saying, that Narada Muni was doing this not for his benefit. Narada Muni knew that the Lord and his glories are identical. He knew that perfectly. So he wanted to feel the Lord's presence at every moment. So he was chanting that. And that's also for our benefit, right? So it's not like Prabhupada wanted to mention that it's not that he was doing anything for him, because he is already liberated. He is self-satisfied. He has got everything. So all he is doing this as just as a service only. Mm-hmm. And And in from the purport, I just pasted this one. It is a natural psychology in every individual case that a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories enumerated by others. That's a natural instinct. And the Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to this psychology, because psychological characteristics visible in the individual souls are but reflections of the same psychology in the absolute Lord. So it's very natural for the Lord to appear. So that's how he was appearing in Narada Muni's heart every time when he began to chant his glories. So similarly, if we also chant like that, we can perceive the Lord, because the Lord says he is non-different from his name, right? Nama Chintamani Krishna, right? So when we, if we chant in that mood, in that, with that quality, then he is giving guarantee that we can perceive the Lord in our heart. It is a possibility. It is like a given to us in writing that this will happen if you do this. Of course, the Lord's mercy is there, but at least the process they are giving us so that we get faith to do it. The next verse, Narada Muni is giving further instructions to Vyasadev. Let's chant this.
Etaddi atura chittanam matras tasechaya muhu bhava sindhu plavo drishto hari charyanu varnanam.
It is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties due to desiring contact of the senses with their objects can cross the ocean of nations on a most suitable boat, which is the constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. Here Narada Muni is giving us how to get over this anxieties, frustration and worries we have in the material world. What is the panacea for it? What is the solution for it? He is saying the solution is constant chanting of the glories of the Lord. We have seen that what the sense objects can give us, right? The whatever objects in the material world, though they seem to be like that, they will give us happiness, but they are all sources of misery. We read this. What was this verse? 522. Eshi samsar shajja boga dukkha yone evate. All the material pleasures, they are sources of misery. They only look like they will give you happiness, but you cannot get happiness from them because they are not meant to give us happiness. This is just like initial little happiness in the beginning, but poison at the end. So they are going to give us only suffering. And another thing is, whatever we perceive, it's actually from our sense perception. We read that, right? Mata sparshastu kaunteya. They are all like very, they are not permanent. They just come and go. But that is what we perceive. Because sometimes the same object which gives us happiness, the next day gives us suffering. So what is that? Rompath Maharaj says it's all but what our mind thinks. All this happiness, all this misery is not actually what our soul experiences. It's all our mind forms an image. Today, this heat is giving me happiness. Tomorrow, this heat will give me suffering. Because that is what I perceive it as. So all these material things, they are all very temporary, and they all arise from what we perceive it. They are nothing to do with our soul. They're just on the bodily platform. And why do we get frustration in the world? Because we are trying to enjoy something which is not enjoyable. Whatever is in this material world is not enjoyable. That is not what it is made of. It is just to, just for allurement. It's a temporary thing. So when something is not enjoyable and you put your life on it, you try to enjoy it, and what you're going to end up with is frustration, which is very, very obvious, natural. But we don't, unless we have this knowledge, we think that is the end, that is the be all and end all, because we don't know what is enjoyable. So far in our vicinity, we only have few things. So out of that, we think that is enjoyable and we try to enjoy it because we don't have the knowledge. That's why Narada Muni is saying that if you want to really get enjoyment and get free from all these anxieties and all these worries in this material world, the only way to get out of that is to chant the glories of the Lord. So we can still continue doing whatever we are doing. But only thing is, we have to change the subject matter. Like we like to talk, we like to, think, desire, feel, all these things, and we cannot stop all these things until we have a material body, right? No, even spiritual body, they have all these feelings. But for us, what is suggested for us is just change it. Like Prabhupada says that if you want to talk about cinema, talk about Krishna's pastimes with gopis. If you want to talk about politics, talk about the politics the Lord did. So there's, for everything you take, the Lord did a lot of pastimes, and we have so many stories, you know, to engage us for whatever propensity we have, whatever we want to talk about. If you want to talk about all the relationships, they're all in the Lord's pastime. So we can just talk about them. The first one is entangling and, you know, give you frustration and everything, whereas the other one is liberating. So all we need to do is we need to just change it. Which is actually the one here we are doing is for us. But when you do it for Krishna, it gets changed. So our consciousness gets changed from doing things for selfish motives versus we do it for Krishna. Because we don't, because the thing is, when we chant the glories of the Lord, we don't have a motive. It's not that, oh, I'm enjoying. Maybe that's the initial thing. We're getting some pleasure. But the ultimate thing is, we are doing it for pleasing the Lord. So that is out of love. There is no like business there. I do this to get that. It's not supposed to be like that. It's not the goal of that. The goal is to glory, chanting the name of the Lord or chanting the glories of the Lord is all done for pleasing the Lord. We might start in the beginning, you know, first we might do it to get freedom from material miseries, to get freedom from impurities. That is all fine because that's part of the process. But ultimately, what we want to do is we want to do it out of love. So that is what is Narada Muni's prescription here to us is, if you want to find a problem for all these worries which haunt us in this material world from day in and day out, you know, which is, there is no solution for it in material world. You cannot find a solution. The only way to get out of is you chant the glories of the Lord. And Narada Muni is mainly instructing Vyasadeva because he wants Vyasadeva to instruct the same thing to all of us. So that's why he's instructing it again, so that he will talk about it. He'll talk about the glories of the Lord as his main subject matter in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that we can get all these benefit that Narada Muni got and Narada Muni is giving to Vyasadeva, and tomorrow we will also get out of it. And Narada Muni is speaking out of his personal experience, because Narada Muni says initially he was attached. That's what he says. Like first he had, you know, but we didn't hear about all these things. But he says, I was like this. And then when I heard from Lord that I should chant his glories, then he lost all these, you know, attachment and everything. All these things went away. So he is giving his personal experience that from this, you can become this. So this is the prescription. So you are also here. You follow this process. You will get this relief from all of this. And in the next verses, he is going to continue further on his instruction. Oops, what happened? Sorry, we were in. I only pressed page down.
You did 34, you had to go to 35.
35, right?
Shift F5.
Okay, sorry. Okay, we'll chant this verse. यमादिभिर् योग पतै कामलोभहतो मुहु मुकुंद सेवया यद्वत् It is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire and lust. But this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul. For this satisfaction is derived from devotional service to the personality of Godhead. We have heard this in different contexts in several places. Here is again stressing. In Bhagavatam, we have seen the reiteration of the same concept, right? The satisfaction, which we, where we read in first canto. Enatma suprasiddhi. First, Sutta Goswami is telling the sages that all the questions that you are asking, they give full satisfaction to the soul because they are about Krishna. So only things about Krishna will give satisfaction to the soul. And in the next verse, Sutta Goswami is giving the answer to the first question. What is the ultimate good? And in that he said, right, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Eto Bhakti Radokshaje Ahai Tuki Apratihata Yatma Suprasidati. So same thing he is again stressing here, that Only devotional service to the Lord will give us complete satisfaction. The all other things are only give you temporary relief. This we also heard this in Bhagavad Gita in Vishaya Vini Vartante. Like, I mean, if you artificially control your senses, only for some time you can control. The moment they get a chance, he says, Prabhupada says, like serpents, they'll again open their fangs and they'll get into that. So similarly, like Vishwamitra Muni, he gives an example for people who are doing, you know, austerities, physical austerities for controlling the mind and senses. That is one way of controlling mind and senses, but that thing is not practical, and one thing. Another thing is not very effective, because there is always that thing that you will fall down. Whereas if we engage our senses in a higher taste, because here it is automatic, right? When you engage senses in the service of the Lord, then the Lord gives a guarantee that there is no fall down. And Prabhupada also says this is a very effective means of engagement, because it is going to purify the senses. Because in the other thing, there is no purification. You artificially block your mind, block your ears, block everything. You go to secluded place, you do all these things. Moment you are exposed, all those desires are still in the heart. But in this process, you get purification. So, devotional service, that's a practical and effective means to control your senses. So, we don't have to go through this artificial way of controlling the senses. Well, now I know I pressed end instead of page down. So, that's why. So, this is the same thing that we discussed. And another thing Prabhupada stresses here is, there are so many, we also read in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, right? Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. Like bhakti is devoid of karma and jnana. See, karma and jnana, they are subordinate to bhakti. Like without bhakti, karma and jnana cannot be successful. But bhakti is not dependent on karma or jnana. You don't need to do those things. But people who are doing those things, they are advised to also do bhakti. Otherwise, they can never be successful. Whereas for bhakti, is like bhakti is independent. Like there is no hetu, there is no cause. So the Prabhupada says the best process of self-realization is bhakti, devotional service, and not karma jnana. And there are so many other forms, they all give some relief. So we know this, the meaning between right a relief and putting a permanent fix. Like I went to my chiropractor, I was having some treatments, and they give a pamphlet. They say relief care, corrective care. They ask, do you want to relief care, do you want to corrective care? And it's very much like our thing. They say relief care will temporarily remove your symptom, but in the long run will give more damage. And relief care is cheap initially, but long run you'll spend more. It's like it's very synonymous with what we do here. Now temporarily you can get relief of the symptoms, but they're going to haunt you, then again you're going to do that, and unless you do the root cause, right, unless you fix the root cause, they're going to come back and you're going to suffer more and more and more. So it's better to follow the right process so that you fix all these things at once. Right? That is why they say bhakti is the only process for self-realization. And in this, Vyasadeva is stressing it because Narada Muni, he doesn't want Vyasadeva to talk about mixed devotional service. Yes. He wants Vyasadeva to talk about paro dharma, no kaitava dharma, no other karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti or any of that. He wants you to talk about only pure devotional service. So the message of Bhagavatam is pure devotional service. That's what Narada Muni again and again is stressing, because that's what he wants Vyasadeva. Because earlier Vyasadeva spoke about everything, right? And he was dissatisfied. He didn't feel satisfied. He talked about Vedas and every branch of knowledge, you know, that we could think of. But he wasn't satisfied. That's why he's saying you will get the satisfaction only by devotional service. So he's inserting Narada Vyasadeva, that is for you, and you tell the same thing to the readers of Srimad Bhagavatam so that they get the pure message. You already gave all other forms. So let's put an end to it. Now Bhagavatam is only about pure devotional service. No other form is mixed. And he also says that all this, the yoga and all these things, right? They will actually make the heart harder. Whereas devotional service will make the heart softer. So that it's easy for you to, you know, engage in the Lord's devotional service. So he's prescribing that if you go to yoga and all that, to come to bhakti is hard. But you have to do that eventually, because with, even if you practice yoga, unless you do bhakti, you cannot attain self-realization. Bhakti is the foremost process. That is the one. But as if you do yoga and all, your heart is going to become more harder, and it's going to be even more difficult for you to get out of it. Yeah, I think. And we have also heard, right, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, right, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta. Like, people who are after Bhukti Mukti, I mean, karma and liberation and like mystic yogis, they all are not peaceful. Whereas Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta. So only the devotee of Krishna is peaceful. Why peaceful? In sense, he is self-satisfied. He doesn't have any other desires. Because all he does is he serves the Lord, and in that relationship, he is completely satisfied. So the, you will be only without peace when you have some haunting things, when you are unfulfilled. When you are completely fulfilled, you are peaceful, right? So he's saying only in devotional service you can get it. You cannot get it in any other form. So the same thing is stressed in another purport. So I just put it here. Let's just read it. One cannot attain complete satisfaction even if one is situated in the greatest material opulence. There was nothing Sati could not achieve either from her relationship with her father or from her relationship with the greatest of the demigods. But still, for some reason, she was dissatisfied. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 126 explains that one has to achieve real satisfaction. Yayatma suprasidati. But Atma, the body, mind and soul, all become completely satisfied only if one develops devotional service to the absolute truth. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adokshaje. Adokshaje means the absolute truth. If one can develop his unflinching love for the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead, that can give complete satisfaction. Otherwise, there is no possibility of satisfaction in the material world or anywhere else. So this is the only means for which the soul can be satisfied. Because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna, so it can be only be satisfied only when it's engaged in its, Prabhupada says, right, constitutional position, which is a servant of the Lord. Whatever else we try to do, it won't be satisfied. And in the next three verses will be like the conclusion. He will be wrapping it up. So let's just chant this verse.
Sarvam tad idam akhyatam yat prishto aham tvayanaga janma karma rahasyam me bhavatas chatma toshanam.
O Vyasadeva, you are freed from all sins. Thus I have explained my birth and activities for self-realization as you asked. All this will be conducive for your personal satisfaction also. So here Narada Muni is saying that you were very dissatisfied, so you asked me, you approached me, so I am saying, it's like I am ending. Thus, so that's why I told you my entire life, so that you can get satisfaction by following the same process that I did. And since you are literal incarnation, you write that whatever you heard through me in Srimad Bhagavatam, so all the readers of the Srimad Bhagavatam will also, can also get the same benefit that Narada Muni got. So Narada Muni is so compassionate, right? So he wants to help all of us. So he first explaining his student and motivating him so that he can explain to all of us. And he, in this, Prabhupada stresses that, see here, Janma Karma Rahasyam. So these are like mysteries. Even in like in Vedas and everything, we cannot know about these benefits of devotional service unless these devotees tell us. It's not very obvious. That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam, he says it's a mature fruit. Because in that, we hear about the glories of bhakti over and over. Whereas in other literatures, we never heard it. So Narada Muni has kindly explained the mystic activities of his birth and everything for our benefit. And another thing is, he says, when Narada Muni tells about his life, Prabhupada recaps in this purport from what happened till now. So he says, Narada Muni, he was saying that Narada Muni, main thing is due to hearing. His main thing is he served those Bhakti Vedantas and he heard from them. And because of that hearing, he became very detached. So can you imagine that a 5-year-old boy thinking that his mother's death is a benediction? But he thought like that because he had the knowledge. Though he was dependent on his mother completely, he didn't have anyone else for his, maintenance. But because of the knowledge he got, through that attentive hearing And by that mercy he got from them, he was able to think like, oh, now I can go and look for Lord, because now I'm rid of all my attachments. So because of that hearing, so that's why he's stressing that hearing is very, very important. Call his detachment and all that, they come automatically, like Narada Muni and all, just by hearing. And in this verse, the results of devotional life has been revealed to us very mercifully by Narada Muni, which we just heard. So the next verse, Suta Goswami is finishing it up.
Suta Vacha Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan Narado Vasavi Sutam Amantriya Vinam Ranayan Yayo Yadrichiko Muni.
Suta Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narada Muni took leave of him and vibrating on his Veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. Here he is concluding that Narada Muni finished the conversation and now he is going to leave and he is going to continue with his pastimes. You know, going from each place to each place and, you know, helping people, conditioned souls. And in this purport, Prabhupada took that free will, that word, and he is like elaborating more on that. He is talking about what is freedom. Prabhupada says only devotional service can give us complete freedom. Because we think if we do whatever we want to do, that is freedom. Actually, that is not freedom. Like if, for example, we are going in the road, right? If I say, I don't want to follow the rules of the road, then you drive whatever you want. Everybody drives like that. There's no freedom, right? Because we can't drive properly. Now, because we all have a rule, we are able to drive. We have seen in India, right? It's very hard to drive in India. We cannot call that as a freedom. But actually here, we are able to drive more freely because all of us are following one rule. It looks as if like, you know, we are following, because we think when we follow, a freedom is curtailed, we are bound. Actually, it's not that. If we follow that freedom, that rules in the right sense, you know, with following the one authority, then all of us can have collective freedom. So that's why he's saying in devotional service, we all are following the Lord as authority. So all of us get freedom. And he says freedom means freedom from all the material things. That is one thing. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. See, everybody in material world, even though they seem to be independent and everything, they cannot conquer these four things. And only way to conquer these four things is by you become a devotee of the Lord. Then only you can transcend those things. You won't be even affected by it. Like, because people are, you know, they are millionaires, they are scientists, they are doing so many inventions. So Prabhupada was saying, Einstein could not stop his death. He discovered so many things. Because you cannot do it. Then how can you call you are free? When you are bound by these laws of nature so strictly, you cannot call yourself free. So we should not think that material world means freedom and by, you know, by following devotional service, it's not free. No, it's not like that. This is actually real freedom to us. And in that, Prabhupada is giving some more this thing as, like, devotional service is completely free. He's talking about another aspect that Krishna and the devotees, they are not obligated. Like, he says that you might follow the process, you might do the, you know, the regulatory things, but if Krishna doesn't give his mercy, you might not get devotion. And similarly, association. You might do so many endeavors to give a devotee association, but you need to get the mercy of the Lord and the devotee to get that association. So it is not mechanical and it is not by demand. Krishna and the devotees are completely free. They will reciprocate when they want. There is no rule. There is no formula. We have been given a process. So because the Lord is kind, so he gave a process. So you follow it, then I will do it. But even then there, it's not by like, I do A, B, C, I get D. It's not that. Prabhupada stresses that it's the Lord is completely free and the Lord's devotee is also completely free. They are not obligated to do anything whenever we want. Just because, you know, I'm doing this. It's all causeless mercy of the Lord. And another thing, I read in one of the lectures, he said, you can get freedom only from a person who has freedom. So we can get freedom only from Krishna. Because only Krishna is absolutely free. Because everybody in material world, the greatest, politician or the highest, richest millionaire, everybody, nobody is free. Because they all are bound you know, by the laws of nature, by their desires, by so many things. So how can you get freedom by serving them? So you can get freedom only from a person who has that, right? If you want something, you have to go to a person who has that. So you can get freedom only from Krishna who has it. And sometimes we think, you know, freedom means it's a temporary thing. So for example, he was saying initially in India, we had this independence movement, right? Freedom movement. So we said that we want freedom from British rule, British rule, British rule. But Prabhupada says we got freedom and then we got so many other problems. Like the partition and this, and then people suffered even more. So it's like they say, right? You go from the frying pan, you go to the fire. But it's not really freedom. You say that you have one problem and you say, I want freedom from that problem. And as soon as you get it, you get another problem. So it is not real freedom. So those things cannot give us real freedom. Only devotional service can give us real freedom. And Prabhupada says, Krishna never interferes with our free will. He gives us free will. He tells us, you want to do whatever you want to do. But at the end, he also gives an instruction. Like, you know, give up everything. Sarva dharman parityajya. But then it's up to us to do what we want to do. Because Krishna has the free will. And we are part and parcel of him. So we also have the free will. So Krishna doesn't want to interfere in our free will. So he gives you the free will. And at the end, he also tells you, this is what I would like you to do. He tells Arjuna, whether you want to do or not, it's up to you. You know that he doesn't anyway interfere with our free will. And Prabhupada gives a very powerful purport. He said, freedom is the main center pivot, the central focus in the devotional service. Freedom is the main thing. I just put that purport here. I mean, I'm not able to explain as much as given here, and I'm just explaining based on what I have able to collect. Because I feel this is very powerful. The transcendental system of devotional service is also free. It may or may not develop in a particular person even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. Similarly, the association of the devotee is also free. One may be fortunate to have it, or one may not have it even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. Here he means that devotional service is done out of love. Nobody can force us to do it. Right? In office and all, we are, you know, doing so much out of force, right? Because we have a deadline. We have to, because we are getting salary, we are getting this, so we are like forced to do these things. But devotional service, it has to be done out of love, right? Because that's why Krishna wants us to do. He doesn't want, I mean, if he wanted, he would have like slapped us and, you know, he is the one who is granting us everything, right? He might not grant everything, but he doesn't want to do it. He wants us to willingly surrender out of love for him. He doesn't want to impose his, you know, superpower. He can do it. He has it. But he doesn't want to do it. Because then there is no reciprocation and love in it. The love should be like voluntary. Another thing Prabhupada says, the freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. Here what I understand at least is, it's not the like the slavery or anything. It's not like that which is mentioned. Because people think, oh, I'm surrendering myself. Then that means, oh, I'm like completely dependent on you. I'll be forced to do what you want to do. But in devotees, it's very different. Because the devotee develops a relationship with the Lord where all his desires are aligned with the Lord. So there is no more, you know, compulsion or force. It's naturally aligned. And he naturally gets satisfaction and pleasure from Krishna's satisfaction. Because they say, no, the devotees and the Lord's interest matches at that point. So whatever you do, it's the Lord's interest. So you are not doing it out of like, in slavery and all, they don't, you know, they're doing out of force. They don't love anybody. That's why they are completely, that's like a master-slave thing. Whereas in our relationship, it's not like that. It is done out of love, knowing our relationship with the Lord. That is what we are meant for. And we perfectly understand any other position is not good for us. We are not going to be happy. And this is the only position that can make me also happy. And that's why we do it. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. So if we want to get total freedom, the only way Prabhupada is saying to surrender to the Lord through the guru. Because, right, because we have a spiritual master via media, a representative of the Lord. So we surrender through him to the Lord. And that's the only way to get complete freedom. And I just took some of the Prabhupada's lectures regarding this. I'll just read it. They have sex life on the street. They say it is freedom. But the rascals do not know there is no freedom at all. Where is freedom? So long you are under the grip of material nature, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Bhagavad Gita 13.9, where is freedom? By nature does not mean that you have got freedom. There is no freedom. We are all conditioned. Simply falsely we are thinking of freedom. It requires little brain. Where is freedom? Nobody wants to die. And where is the freedom not to die? Who has got the freedom? Nobody wants to become old. And where is the freedom? Everyone becomes old. But I have got the desire. Even old man, old woman tries to remain young by cosmetic help, to be good looking. And where is the freedom? By nature, he's becoming bad looking. So there is no freedom. It is a false idea of freedom. Nobody wants to die. Death is sure. Nobody wants to become old. He is becoming old. Nobody wants to take birth. Of course, that is very higher stage. Jnani, they want mukti. That is also not possible. Otherwise, why Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanam Ante? To stop death, to stop birth is not possible unless one comes to Krishna consciousness. Unless one does not come to the position of loving Krishna, there is no question of freedom. There is one more thing where he explains about if a child is with the parents, he has complete freedom. He can do everything. But if he leaves the parents and go to the street by himself, he is totally vulnerable. There is no freedom. It might look like he is free, but there is no freedom at all. That's the example Prabhupada gives. A child's freedom, for instance, is to live completely under the protection of his parents. Then he has freedom. But without their freedom, he will have no freedom, only suffering. If the child is very rebellious, he may think he doesn't need his parents. He wants to be free. But he is just a rascal. He does not really know what freedom is. Similarly, if you don't surrender to God, then you are misusing your freedom and you will lose your freedom. Bhagavad Gita says, Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya durateya. Material nature is so strong that she will not allow you to get free. But mam evaya prapadyante. If you surrender to Krishna instead of Krishna's maya, then you will become free. Hey, Prabhupada is saying, right? Surrender, you get freedom. The same point. If you don't agree to accept the control of Krishna, you will be forced by Krishna's material energy. So what is this so-called freedom? You have to surrender. So this is the last verse, is the glorification of Narada Muni. That's how this chapter ends.
Aho devarshir danyoyam yat kirtim shan gadan vanaha gayan madhyan idam tantriya ramayati aturam jagat.
All glory and success to Srila Narada Muni because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead, and so doing he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls of the universe. So Narada Muni is doing, by doing that activity he gets happiness, and all of us, all the conditioned souls of this universe, we also get benefit. So here Suta Goswami is praising Narada Muni in front of all the sages. And Prabhupada explains that we have seen so many examples in our Bhagavatam, how many people Narada Muni helped, right? Like Mrigrari, the hunter, and then Prahlad Maharaj when he was in the womb, and then Dhruva Maharaj. Like he goes everywhere and he helps all these conditioned souls. That's what Prabhupada is saying, further glorifying Narada Muni, how much he is doing. And the point is stressing that we all are actually following in his footsteps. Because Narada Muni, what he is doing is preaching, right? That is main thing, giving Krishna's message to everyone. And that's what Prabhupada's movement is about, to help the whole world by giving this message. So Narada Muni's mission, that's what he stresses mainly here. Srila Narada Muni, in order to enlighten the miserable inhabitants, wanders everywhere. His mission is to get them back home, back to Godhead. That is the mission of all genuine devotees of the Lord, following the footsteps of that great sage. So Prabhupada is talking about himself and everybody following Prabhupada's footsteps. So that should be our mission. Like we'll follow Narada Muni's thing. So we will follow the process for ourselves, to get, you know, this for cultivation, and then we will spread to everyone this great process which helps us go back home, back to Godhead. And I just took little things about Narada Muni which Prabhupada said, which will be as an inspiration for us. Narada, he is also Satyavesha avatar. He was, in his previous life, he was a maidservant son. But with association of devotees, he rose up to this position, Narada. Narada's position is very exalted as devotee. All of the devotees of the in this material world, more or less, they are all disciples of Narada. Vyasadeva is also a disciple of Narada. Prahlad Maharaj, these are big devotees. He was also a disciple of Narada. And Dhruva Maharaj, he was also a disciple of Narada. Valmiki, he was also a disciple of Narada. So Narada is a representation of the devotional path of opulence. Prabhupada says that we all are actually disciples of Narada. One more. Lord Brahma is the guru of Narada Muni. Who is the guru of Vyasadeva? And Vyasadeva is the guru of Madhvacharya. Thus, the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya is in the disciplic succession from Narada Muni. The members of the disciplic succession, in other words, the members of the Krishna conscious movement, which is us, should follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni by chanting the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They should go everywhere to deliver the fallen souls by vibrating the Hare Krishna mantra and the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. That will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can spiritually advance if one actually follows the instructions of Narada Muni. If one pleases Narada Muni, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishikesha, is also pleased. Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasada. He is telling that verse that we tell for spiritual master because he is comparing spiritual master with Narada Muni. The immediate spiritual master is the representative of Narada Muni. There is no difference between instructions of Narada Muni and those of the present spiritual master. Both Narada Muni and the present spiritual master speak the same teachings of Krishna. There is one more thing. Desiring to train his sons to become grihasthas, fully equipped with knowledge, Daksha had sent them. This is the another group of people which Narada Muni delivered, and he got the curse and everything, which is a blessing. Daksha had sent them to execute austerities by Narayana Saras. Narada Muni, however, taking advantage of their highly elevated position in austerity, instructed them to become Vaishnavas in the renounced order. So Prabhupada is saying, this is the duty of Narada Muni and his followers. They must show everyone the path of renouncing this material world and returning home back to Godhead. So he's further emphasizing Narada Muni's goal. He's helping people to give up this material world by the process of devotional service, not just artificially giving up. Doing this process, give up and go back home to Godhead. So we, as trying to be followers of Narada Muni in this Krishna consciousness movement, should try to imbibe that same mood. That's all. And so just a summary of what we heard is, in these verses, these were actually the later part. So there wasn't much in the, I didn't find any Prabhupada's lecture or anything on this. So I just tried to gather whatever was available about Narada Muni and something related to this to prepare. And what I understood from the summary of all this thing is, he's once again, reiterating the importance of devotional service versus the other things as a means to get complete satisfaction to the soul. And another thing is, he is stressing us that we have to follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni, both in personally following and in preaching. So these are the two main things that we should try to cultivate, both. That's all. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.